Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the letter to the Hebrews, the closing chapter, chapter 13. I will read verses 1 through 8 and then skip to 15 and 16. Hear now the words of our God. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This is the word of the Lord for you and for me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O God, in these words, may we find our and your definition of hospitality, of love, of all. Amen and amen. What we have before us in this text today is the closing exhortation of the letter to the Hebrews. It is, well, like many exhortations that are found throughout our scripture, a list, almost a bullet-pointed PowerPoint list of do this, do this, do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, do this. Right? It's just that simple. And before us we have, I think it can be boiled down to about 6 points. We won't go into all 6 in this particular sermon. I could approach this in so many different ways. We could have had a sermon series on just this one text, taking it point by point, and even closing with verses 15 and 16 as a separate sermon in and of themselves. But what has drawn me this morning to this particular text are verses 1, 2, and 3. Because in those verses, I feel like we have one topic, one all-encompassing understanding that is kind of meted out into 3 separate ideas. In fact, as I read verses 1 through 3, and as I continue to read verses 1 through 3, I read it almost as one of those beloved 3 a.m. infomercials. Mutual love. But wait, there's more. Love of the stranger. But wait, there's more. Love of those who are in prison and being tortured. And even maybe concluding with another, but wait, there's more. We begin with a very simple verse. In the NRSV, it is, "Let mutual love continue." I believe in the NIV, it is something to the effect of, "Let us love each other, brothers and sisters alike." Something to that effect. Brotherly and sisterly love. That is an easy one to start out with, I think. Depends on your family, really. Depends on your church family, really. I know. But for simplicity's sake, let's say that mutual love of brothers and sisters and brothers alike is a fairly easy jumping off point. If you look around in this room, you are surrounded by, well, normally I would say you're surrounded by disciples of Christ, but I know we have a Methodist minister in here this morning, so I can't just limit it to that. You are surrounded by like-minded individuals for the most part. We agree on several basic tenets of the Christian faith. If you didn't believe in several basic tenets of the Christian faith, you wouldn't be in this room worshiping the God that you claim to worship. We come together as mutual seekers of the faith. And so it is that we have a room filled with friends, with family, friends who are like family to us, mutual kinship. You look left and right, front and back from where you're sitting right now, and you see a sister, a brother, maybe a father, a mother, figure, a grandmother or grandfather figure, maybe a son or daughter figure. In this room, you have family. And for as many faults as each of us have, it is easy to love family. To love family. I didn't say like. It is easy to love family because they are part of who you are. They are part of your very essence. They are just like you. And so brotherly and sisterly love is a wonderful jumping off point. But then we leave the shallow, maybe we leave the kiddie pool, I should say, and get into the shallow end of the pool, which is verse 2. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Hospitality is a word that is prolific in our Christian faith. It is one of the very basic tenets that Christ teaches over and over and over. Hospitality, your Greek lesson for the day from a person who has never taken Greek before, so take it for what it's worth. Philoxenia, hospitality. Philo, you probably know, is love. That's one of the forms of love. Xenia, you might be able to get the root form from the word xenophobic, afraid of the other. So you can break that word down into a love of the strange, or a love of the other, if you want to go that direction. What happens in this very room when we come to worship and someone visits and sits next to you that just doesn't seem like they're like you in the least bit? Maybe they come from a different socioeconomic class than you. Maybe they dress a little bit different from you. Maybe they smell a little different from you. Maybe, just maybe, They look different from everybody in here. You may have heard the story, true or not, I really couldn't tell you, of a minister who on his first Sunday at about a 10,000 member church decided to take his sermon a little bit to the extreme. Before meeting anybody there, except for the elders and those who called him, he decided, I'm going to go to worship this morning dressed as someone who is homeless, who is dirty, who is unkempt. And he walked in to that worship service, before the worship service, to 10,000 people. And he said, and three people said hello to him. Three of 10,000. And he asked for change for food from just about everybody he met, and nobody shared their coins. And as the service went along, he tried to go and sit up towards the front, and the ushers said, I think there's a better spot for you in the back. And the service continued. And as they got to the time of the sermon, the elders emphatically got up to the microphone and said, we are overjoyed to introduce our new minister to you. And a hush fell over the congregation of 10,000 as the homeless man, the dirty, unkempt, one who didn't belong, began the long walk from the back to the front. And as he got up into the pulpit, he really only had one or two things to say. I know that's a preacher that only has one or two things to say. But they carried a lot of weight. For I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. It gets a little harder in the shallow end than it was in the kiddie pool. How hospitable are you in your own comfortable place, in this comfortable worship space, when someone who is not like you sits next to you? When someone who is unkempt, unshaven, doesn't look like they've slept in 5 days, sits next to you and all they're wanting is to reach out and touch someone because no one seems to love them. It gets a little harder than loving your sister and your brother. But we don't stop there, but wait, there's more. Love of those who suffer. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. I think whenever I was reading through translations and renderings of this scripture, I came to the torture part in the Message. And the Message says, remember those who are abused and neglected. That resonates a little more with our culture these days than torture. Because there are so many ways that we are tortured in our lives, abused, neglected. As we take the step from the shallow end of the pool, Jesus says, just dive right into the deep end. Because as you leave these doors, it's not comfortable anymore. As you leave these doors, you're not surrounded by brothers and sisters who are like you, who believe the same as you do, who can agree to disagree on some of the things that you don't necessarily agree on. In fact, when you go in the world, there will be people who have struggled their entire lives, who have messed up royally, who find themselves in prison. There are people in this world that you will meet that every single day of their life has been torture because of who they are, because of what they look like, because of what they feel. Every day of their lives is torture. And Jesus tells us, hospitality doesn't end right here in this room. It's still somewhat easy to welcome in the stranger to this, our family. But what's it like to go out and find that stranger? To find them in the least reputable places in our society, and to remember them. To remember them with love, with care, with hospitality, with love of the strange or the other. To reach out to them and say what we hear in our scripture: the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? To share things like that with those who are in prison. To share things like that with those who have struggled every single day of their lives. Who don't know what to believe. Who have been shunned by church. Who have been shunned by quote unquote Christians instead of loved. You see, the deep end is a struggle. But I'd like to think that with that metaphor comes the idea that you can continue in swim lessons for a little longer, and the deep end becomes a little less of a scary place, doesn't it? The more you know how to swim, the stronger you become at swimming, the easier the deep end is. And so the good news is that we get to work on that. We get to take swim lessons each and every day of the week. In our walk of faith, if we want to, we challenge ourselves. We challenge ourselves to love each other mutually. We challenge ourselves that whenever a stranger walks in who's different than us, we love them and welcome them with open arms. We challenge ourselves by going out into the world. That is what Jesus calls us to do. This is what Jesus calls us to do. There's always more when it comes to hospitality. There's always something more you can do with regards to sharing God's love and grace with others. There is always more you can do to learn how to swim better. And so I challenge you to take heed of this exhortation, the first three verses especially. And wherever you are, whether that's still trying to struggle with loving your sister and brother, whether that's still trying to struggle with welcoming the stranger into your midst, or if you continue to struggle with going out into the world, the prisons, the less reputable places where those are being abused and neglected, to keep trying, to keep, the Dory quote in my head, just keep swimming, because you will become stronger, you will become greater, because God is there to help you. God is there to strengthen your love, because God is love, and you are made in God's image. Let us love one another. Let us love the stranger among us. Let us go to those who are imprisoned in their own lives, tortured by their very being, and love. Because love is all you need. Amen and alleluia.